the more the torture came, stopping down ticket stock yesterday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and then here in a minute, the audio from Rick in Dallas's stellar performance with the ticket time wasters, depending on what reviews
stellar.
You read.
Mm.
Okay, well, let's reserve judgment until we hear it. But first, Zamora the Torture King. Now, if you want to see pictures of Zamora's show, go to theticket.com and click on the P1 Wild Ass Circus link. Zamora, an original member of the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow, a guy that we met in Vegas in October when we were out there for one of our P1 WAC road trips. And I saw this guy, and it was like coming back with tales from the Far East. You know, I came back and I was like, I have seen this Zamora. You know, we must bring him in for ticket stock.
What is it with you guys? I don't really get the whole Zamora thing.
Oh, have you seen it?
Well, the whole Torture King doesn't really jump out at me. I mean, I have to admit, I didn't see it.
Right.
I've seen things on TV where guys are jabbing things.
You don't get my fascination with it?
No, I honestly don't.
Well, just the fact that it's something I wouldn't do is one. The fact that I am amazed at people's reaction to it where they don't want to look, but yet they have to. You know, there was a whole room full of people with their hands over their faces yesterday, but their fingers separated where they could see completely through them.
It's kind of like Rick and Dallas on Friday.
All right, now we're not there yet. We're not there yet, Ty. But I was also fascinated by the way that he sort of meditates his pain away, because there's a whole Middle Eastern or Far East thing going on here, yeah, where he's sort of, you know, getting his mind distracted from his own pain and all this sort of thing. Now, the ticket was really accommodating with us at Ticket Stock. We had this idea to take over one of the side rooms at the Plano Center and basically set up our own sideshow tent, and I thought it looked great. It looked like, you know, really walking into like a carnival-style old sideshow type tent, old posters, old creepy clowns around and everything. I was in the Ringmaster outfit.
Big ups to the interns, Craig and Jeremy, and the P1 Wild West Circus.
Now, I was just about to mention that.
Too.
We had some of our regular P1s come out and help with ticket stock that were just invaluable. I mean, there was a long list of them, but particularly Mike G manned the room all day, or all night, Friday night. Devin was there all day on Saturday. And Sunday, Roddy Hate and Walt,
Big Sexy,
a ton of guys were helping out. So anyway, thanks very much to them. But we packed this room full of people. We could only get, how many people do you think were in there, 150?
No, less than that, probably about 120, somewhere around there.
Because it was full. That was as many as you could get in.
Well, you couldn't get more than, I think it was 130.
There you go, okay.
That was
as many as you could get in this room. And originally they were going to put Zamora in the main room. And I said, nah, the Torture King isn't the kind of thing you can just spring on people.
Yeah.
You know, they have to work to get in there so that you know you're absolved of any sort of liability and
that sort of thing.
You know?
You gotta build them up.
And sure enough, I mean, some of the stunts that he was doing in that room and all the photographic evidence is up on the website. But this is the first time I saw his show from the audience the first time, but this is the first time I was on stage with him. Twice I got to participate in the act. One was when Megan, the hardline mascot, was selected from the audience. She got up there wearing high-heeled boots.
Wow.
Zamora lay across a bed of swords, and he had her jump up and down on his chest.
For three times.
With those boots on. Yes.
Oh, now, I thought you were going to say she stepped on a sack.
Oh.
Well, no.
Well, hey, I'm trying to help the Torture King.
Although I think there is a video market for that.
Yeah,
I'd have to talk to Bruce the pornographer about that.
Now, did you notice that Megan, the first time, she just kind of did a little jump.
Right.
Second time, a little hard. The third time, she just reared down and just pounded on his chest. And that at that point, when he got up, there was a little bit of blood trickling from his back.
Well, now you thought that got bloody.
Like a deviled egg slicer.
See, now it's creeping you out, Paul.
Yeah,
you're wondering what the fascination is, but it's that reaction that you're giving.
I just convulsed.
Yes, exactly. And I was fascinated by the idea of packing 120 P1s in a room and making them convulse. That's what we did. And
some of them actually left at some points of the show.
Hey, I understand. The door was open because something like that could happen. Now, the second part of the show that I got to be a part of was he got across that same bed of swords and he put a cinder block on his chest. He had me take a 12-pound sledgehammer and smash the cinder block on his chest. Now, there were two things that I was worried about. One, missing, you know, because the pressure was on.
He can take it. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I did sort of the practice, you know, two taps to make sure I was on target. And then when I swung it and that block broke, the look on his face, because it was not a serene wow. look. I mean, I was just like, I cannot believe I did that to another human being. And when he got up off that thing, the sword that was in the small of his back had cut the length of his back.
Incredible.
Now, did he have a lot of scars from repeating over and over and over
again? He's got scars. Toward the end of the show, he took what looked like shish kebab skewers and put one through his right bicep, right through the center of it, the meat of it, another through his left forearm, and then he took the third one with these pins in either arm and opened his mouth. He's put it under his tongue and drove it all the way down through the bottom of his chin, right by his throat.
How old is this guy?
He's got to be right around 40, I would think.
I'm convinced that certain people have a propensity not to feel pain.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy back in the late 70s that one of my brothers was an engineer at Channel 8 at the time, and he had this gentleman that went by the name of El Toro. And he would eat glass and eat fire.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd be sitting there looking in total awe as his mouth bled and wondering how in the world is this guy managing, and it would be just like, you know, nothing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's something to do with human beings. Some human beings have a ability to absorb more pain or to
That's
deal with
so
pain.
That's so amazing. I mean, every once in a while.
It's a mind over matter type of thing.
Yeah, every once in a while, a true badass like myself comes along and can withstand that kind of pain.
I just want to know how the guy gets the audacity to try that.
The first time
the one that I would be worried about.
Well, here's a broadsword. Let me try this real quick.
Yeah.
And you know,
another
thing he did was he couldn't use fire in the Plano Center. He does a fire-eating, fire-breathing act, and he did it last night at the midnight show at the church, but he couldn't do it at Ticketsock because of the fire regulations. So instead, he pulled out this. It looked like a wood-burning tool. What it actually was is a thing they used to burn goat's nads off.
Oh, my.
And it's like a piece of metal that heats to red hot. I mean, you could see it glowing.
Oh, yeah, nad burner, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then once it got red hot, he just started licking it.
And you could smell the burning from his tongue.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah, a cat walked in just as he's burning his own flesh. And what did he say, Turley?
He goes, "Smells like the whack."
It was also funny when Frito came in because Frito was
this segment right now.
Yeah, Frito was in there, and right about that time, Zamora said, "You know, be courteous to your neighbors. If anyone seems to feel queasy or faint, you know, you might want to catch them as they fall." And I believe it was Jeremy, our intern, said, "Man, he's the closest guy next to Frito," and he's like, "There's no way I'm going to be able to catch him. I hope he doesn't pass out."
He did turn pale, too, that's for sure.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Well, Zamora the Torture King lived up to everything I had hoped yesterday. I wanted to put on a presentation that was akin to a creepy turn-of-the-century sideshow. And I felt like that's what I was doing, right there in the middle of North Dallas suburbia.
Oh, mission accomplished.
Well, that was part of what we wanted to accomplish at Ticket Sock. The other thing we wanted to do, and this goes back to Friday night with the Time Wasters, is we wanted to involve the P1. This is something that we do. It's germane to the show itself, and we always like to have the P1s involved in whatever musical number we do with the Ticket Time Wasters. Well, this year called for some last-minute scrambling because the P1 that I had tapped to participate with us had inexplicably turned on us. So Rick in Dallas, the performance artist, the caller savant,
hey, Digger,
came through in the clutch, and he agreed to perform with me. Now, he disclosed to us that he plays an instrument with his hand. He calls it the dukaphone.
Mm.
It's sort of like a trumpet and a duck call all rolled into one.
Oh, my. The dukaphone.
And he wanted to perform the old Louis Armstrong standard Hello, Dolly. So what you will hear is a trio. It's myself on guitar, Danny from the Hardline picking the banjo, and Rick in Dallas on the dukaphone, all of us wearing the old-timey straw hats like we're in a barbershop quartet. And this is the last little bit of the song, but this is the part that really featured Rick in Dallas. And listen to the unruly reaction, much like when Stravinsky debuted The Rite of Spring, that the crowd devolves into. Let's listen to this.
Here comes Rick. Go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
guitar sounds pretty good.
Thank you. Where's my revolver? Was the crowd swaying at this point?
No.
No.
Lighter's going.
I said hello, darling. Well, hello, darling. That's Rick singing.
Nice to have you back where you belong.
Not a bag in sweat, darling. I can tell, darling. Growing, you're still growing, you're still growing strong. I hear the band
Satchmo himself
playing while the room is swaying. One of your favorite songs from way back when. So kick a rap, fellas. Find her an empty lap, fellas. Dolly, you'll never go away. Dolly, you'll never go away. Dolly, you'll never go away again.
What was wrong with that?
That is Rick and Dallas and his Dukaphone.
Where's the band?
Big hand for Rick and Dallas.
Oh, they still sell like a,
oh, God.
That was like a duet between the fake Louis Armstrong and the fake Neil Diamond singing it together. That's exactly what that was.
How did you complete the song, Richard? I heard you giggle a couple times.
Yeah.
Because you just look over at Rick, and he's just having a ball. Just,
I got to tell you, I'm really generally comfortable performing in front of audiences. Like, I'm a horrible hockey player, so I get real nervous at Charity Challenge. But, you know, music, I guess being in bands, it's not something I'm real tense about. But I was sweating, man. I was sweating because I wasn't sure where Rick was going. But he's a performance artist. Yeah, I mean, that's right. The thing. It affects,
I thought it was great.
It's polarizing. See, I'm glad you enjoyed that, Paul. Yeah. It has a polarizing effect. Some say, some of the simpletons will say that, you know, they will dismiss Rick as some sort of
drunk,
I think they call him. I'm not even sure that I'd never seen him drink.
I was cracking up backstage, but everybody else was asking, what is this? What's going on? I don't understand. I'm just...
You just don't get it. Just don't worry about it.
Sapped my energy, I believe.
Well, that's always the funny thing. 2 years running and the number that we've done. The same thing happened when I did Send in the Clowns last year. It creeps everybody out.
Yeah, if you get it and you understand what the whole point is, it's funny as hell. But if you don't, and it was at one point I thought there's fans are going to start throwing beer bottles or something up there.
Very Andy
Kaufman.
It was about that point. I was watching it, and Craig from Slam Ball was standing next to me. He looks at me and goes, they need to pass out, like, vegetables or something to people as they're walking in for a certain point. I said, yeah, I agree.
All right, so you were one of the naysayers then.
Yeah, that was about the time I told Craig, I said, I got to go.
Boy, we just chased you right
out
of the building.
You chased me out of the Plano Center.
Wow. Well, it is very Kaufman-esque, and I take that as a compliment. I appreciate you saying that. Anyway, don't know what we will do to live up to that standard next year, but we will try. All right, coming up next on the P1 Wild Ass Circus, last night was the end of Sex and the City. A lot of guys don't like this show, but some guys do. Guess what? I'm one of them. I'm not afraid to admit that. A particularly metrosexual moment has been the order of the day for me every Sunday night for a very long time, and now it is no more. But I got to say, I was not particularly happy with the outcome of last night's finale. Let us discuss next on the P1 Wild Eye Circus on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.